Have you ever had an epiphany? Epiphany, that realization of something maybe you didn't know before? 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany, that is, the manifestation of Christ's divinity, when the three kings, the three magi, came to the birthplace of Jesus and presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so we revealed his kingship. Jesus is King of the Jews. Last week, at Jesus' baptism, we had yet another epiphany when God the Father announced to all those there present, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And today, we have the third epiphany in this celebration as we begin our celebration of ordinary time again. The epiphany where Jesus reveals his glory to his disciples, and they began to believe in him as he begins his public ministry with the first miracle that he makes. Mary, our Blessed Mother, doesn't often speak in Scripture, but today we hear the very last words that she does speak in the Bible, and her words always overflow with wisdom, although they are sometimes very simple and short. And these last words that we hear today are no exception. Mary, we know, was the first Christian, the first Catholic, the first disciple. She was filled with the Holy Spirit at the Annunciation, and she spent her entire life working and trying to fulfill Jesus' mission and contributing to him in his help. When we're baptized, we too receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when we're confirmed, as some of our young people will be tonight, we formally declare our intention to spend our lives serving Jesus and contributing to his mission, just as his mother did. It's not often easy, though, to carry out those promises that we make at our confirmation. Life is full of challenges, surprises, temptations, and it's easy to get distracted. And so we can and should turn to our Blessed Mother for her advice and her strength. Mary seeks to solve the problems by bringing everything to her Son, and her compassion towards others is bound in his mercy. Now, some of our Protestant brothers and sisters say that we shouldn't pray to Mary, that we should go directly to God, that we should pray directly to Jesus. And certainly there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But also at the same time, praying to Mary and asking for her intercession does nothing to interfere or to take away from Jesus' power. In fact, it reveals his power because it depends entirely on his power. Mary can't do miracles on her own. She turns to her Son when she needs help, when it's time for her to act. And we pray to her, she brings our needs to her Son, just like she brought the needs of the newlyweds at Cana. And we know Jesus loves his mom. He can't say no to her. And so we know with confidence that when Mary brings our needs to his Son, to her Son, that she will answer them according to his will. And so in these last words that Mary speaks, we find three keys to how we can contribute to that mission too, to put our faith in Jesus and to trust in our Blessed Mother. The first key that Mary shows us is an attitude of service. She wasn't in charge at the wedding feast at Cana. That was the responsibility of the father of the bride. And in those days, especially the working class people didn't always get a chance to break away from work to celebrate. So many times those celebrations would last 4, 5, 6, 7 days. And Jesus contributed to that party, if you will. He brought his new disciples, and they had traveled for 3 or 4 days to come to the celebration that they were invited to, and they were looking forward to it. They were hungry and thirsty. Here's a bunch of working class guys that have been fishing, and they definitely contributed to running out of wine. I'm certain of it. But the interesting thing about this event is that it wasn't the head waiter, it wasn't the father of the bride, it wasn't even the bride's family that noticed that the wine was running short. It was our Blessed Mother. And since she is the Mother of Mercy, we see for the first time how she knows our needs before sometimes we even know them ourselves. Even in the midst of this big party, she wasn't so self-absorbed with joining in the celebration that she lost sight of the needs of others. Instead, she recognized the potential disaster, the embarrassment potentially on the bride and her family. And in order to avert that embarrassment, she said to Jesus that they were running out of wine. And that's Mary's approach to her whole life. Her whole life was one of service, one of an attitude that says, it's not about me. And if we open our hearts to Jesus, the one who came to serve and not be served, we open our hearts to that same love. Service is the sign of love. And those who love know how to serve others, just as in our family, we know and serve each other out of love. And Mary always kept her eyes open on those opportunities, just as if we were part of her own family. The second key to Mary and how she fulfills Jesus' mission is in her trust and confidence that she puts in her son. She noticed the problem, and she wanted to do something about it. She wasn't a rich woman, and she didn't have the opportunity to go to Costco and buy some cheap boxed wine. Instead, she put the resources to what she did know, something she knew she could count on, her son. And so she simply tells him they have no more wine. What a beautiful prayer, one that we should remember. She doesn't give him a to-do list. She doesn't try to micromanage God. But she isn't afraid to be very specific and concrete about what she asks for. She knows her son very well. She knows that he is the God of mercy, that he is the Son of God. And so she approaches him with total confidence and trust and puts that trust in him. That combination of his infinite love and power, she knows will answer her prayer. And isn't that how we should approach Jesus as well? He's our Savior. He came to earth to die for us, to save us, so that we might live forever with him. And he loves us without any condition. He loves us completely. And he puts all that love in service to us. And when Jesus doesn't answer our prayers the way maybe we think he should, we still must be confident in knowing that he knows what he is about. In our needs, in our confusion, in our troubles, in our sufferings, it's such a beautiful prayer. We have no more wine. I have no more wine. And Mary doesn't stop there, though. She puts her confidence into practice. And that's the third key. We have to do something active about it. After Jesus gives her a rather ambiguous answer to her prayer, she turns to the waiters and gives them the best advice that any human being can give to anyone. Do whatever he tells you. And this is the true test of our confidence in God, of his goodness and his power. Our obedience and our willingness to be open to him, we call that docility. And if we are truly know that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, then we too should follow his teachings and do whatever he tells us. Inspired by Mary's confidence, the waiters do exactly that. They have no idea why they have to fill these stone water jars with water. Logically speaking, it doesn't seem like it's going to do any good. And physically speaking, it seems like quite a task. 6 stone jars filled with 30 gallons of water. That's 180 gallons of water filled to the brim, 10 pounds a gallon, 1,800 pounds. It's a lot of wine. Sounds like a Knights of Columbus party to me. Just saying. Only Mary's confidence in Jesus, which overflows from our hearts and minds, can give them the faith that they need to listen and obey Jesus. And so they do. And they become part of the miracle that transforms the day. And the same thing happens in our lives. In the midst of our life's difficulties and temptations, obeying God and his commandments and the teachings of the church doesn't always seem logical. Everyone's using contraception. Must be okay. We don't want to have children yet. We want to plan for it later when we can afford it. Everyone is doing drugs and having sex before marriage. Let's live together. We'll get to know each other better. And it'll be good for our marriage in the long run. What could possibly be wrong with that? My loved one is suffering. It's no way to live. That's not a good quality of life. Let me help him end it all. In the midst of the pressure from our popular culture, following God's teaching doesn't always make sense. How do we fit daily prayer into our busy schedules? Mass is so inconvenient. We have sporting events and things to do. How can we possibly afford another child? I don't have time to visit the sick and the imprisoned and the elderly. But Christian life is not one of daydreams and simply prayer. It is one of action. We have plenty of time to rest, as one saint said, when we get to heaven. The Lord could have produced wine out of nothing. He didn't need the water. He didn't need the stone jars. He made the world out of nothing. He created everything out of nothing. But instead, he told the servants to bring the jars full of water. When we pray, we must understand that in order for Jesus to transform us, we need to bring something to be transformed. We need to bring something to the party. We need to bring our sins. We need to bring those things to God so that he can transform them. We need to bring our efforts. And in that, we must learn that we must cooperate with God's grace. We must do our part. Being Christian is not a passive act of sitting still and waiting for God to act. Many times, we don't even know that we're unhappy. We pray to win the lottery. God, please solve all my problems. Please stop me in my addictions. Because so few of us know God and know what our need is for God, we simply don't realize that a simple prayer asking for divine strength and hope is all that we need. And that's where Mary can really be a help to us, where our devotion to her can help. She comes into the crisis of our life as any mother does when a child is sick. Mothers understand the cries and the worries and the ills of their children. They instinctively know when their children are sick, and they know it many times better than those children know themselves. And just as a baby needs a doctor, our Blessed Mother knows that we need her son. The people at the wedding didn't know that they needed to maintain the joy of that wedding feast, even though the Lord was in their midst. And there are many of us who don't come to the Lord unless we have someone to intercede for us, to ask on our behalf. Those at the wedding feast did not need to know that Jesus was the Mother of God in order to receive the benefit of her divine Son. But one thing is for certain, when we pray to Mary, she will always bring those prayers to Jesus, and she will always lead us to Jesus. Our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven, the Mother of God, is teaching us today how to follow Christ, to follow his mission, and to become mature Christians. At Cana, Jesus' disciples become the family of Jesus. And at Cana, the church's faith is born. We're all invited to that wedding. And that new wine, that good wine, the best wine, will never be lacking. It will overflow from our hearts. All we have to do is bring something to the party.